Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row. Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
For Macca's Gourmet Creations.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yes, huge Sunday Rub coming your way. History for the AFL as the first game for premiership points in China. 3:20 this afternoon, we'll be covering the game Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide. What a win it was last night by the Demons. 9 straight goals at one point to overcome the Crows. An extraordinary performance. As well as that, the Bombers got the job done over the Cats. Where are the Cats at? Shane Mumford joins us to chat about that 3-point win over the Pies and that goal from Stevie J. Roosie story time. We'll get around the back-to-school quiz. Warren Treadray in China. Nathan Jones, the Melbourne captain. What a proud man he must be today, as well as Jay-Z's big three. Firstly, to all the mothers out there, to my mum and to Erica, just a magnificent of you all. As I welcome the boys and have a quick chat about Mother's Day, gentlemen. My beautiful 7-year-old came in and gave her delightful mum a card this morning that said, "I love you so much, mummy, especially how you keep the house clean and tidy and do all the jobs so I don't have to," is the way she opened it up. I look at you, Swatter. It would have been a nice little Mother's Day with your young family.
No, I had to shuffle Rach off to pick the girls up who had sleepovers at 8:30 this morning because I got home late calling the footy. So I'll make that up because we've got tea planned tonight. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. And
breakfast in bed for Mrs. Jay-Z. What does she rock as? What's her name?
Jane.
Jane. Breakfast Jane. In bed for Janie?
Jane. Yeah, that was. She was feeling a bit unwell, so she did get a good sleep in. We went to a cafe yesterday to have a bit of a Mother's Day lunch, but when you take a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old to a cafe, it's just never relaxing, is it? We had stuff flying everywhere, so I tried to have a relaxing lunch, but it didn't quite work as well.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to all the mums. I was actually the mum this morning. I got up and took little Charlotte for a lovely swim, Howie. She had a good time down in the swimming pool, had a spa and fluffed around Swatter, so it was lovely.
And what does the Zen Master bring to the table on Mother's Day? As we welcome you on this historic Sunday afternoon, Paul Roos.
Yeah, my mum Greta. Greta, happy Mother's Day out there. My wife's actually in Hawaii, so that's not a bad way to spend Mother's Day, is it? So I took the boys out today for breakfast, played some basketball in the driveway.
Is that why you're looking so casual?
Yeah, I was sweating. I was 2-0 down, so I had to play a third
Are you a layup man or a 3-point man?
I played against my nephew and my older son, myself and Tyler. We were 7-2 up in the first game, lost the second game. Joel was on fire. Then I had to shut him down in the third.
Are you a trash? Are you talking smack out there too?
Oh, there's a lot of smack.
Yeah.
But are you
into that?
Oh, I'm into the this is basketball talk. I'm into the basketball, you know. I'm not into the raising the three and, you know, all that sort
not
of stuff.
Not dusting your shoulders off?
Nah, not that one. Sort of stuff. Eh? We got him, Tyler and I got him in the third, so you're only as good as your last game, Dylan and Joel.
And looking very casual, Roosie, and I don't like to bring it up, Jay-Z, but I came in today in the grey T-shirt and you said, gee, Howie, your arms look big in that T-shirt. And you're spot on, I reckon, don't you think, Ducky
well,
boy?
You have put on a bit of size, Howie.
Yes, this
like
is the
it.
First segment. Keep discussing it as you please.
Normally, Duck at wears the tightest T-shirts. That is a new record for the Triple M team, Howie.
Well,
I've never seen a tighter grey T-shirt.
It's loose around the chest, but by gee, it's tight around the biceps. Now, there's some serious issues coming out of the footy yesterday. Obviously, the big talking point, and we'll get to some of the fantastic wins and what that win means for the Melbourne Football Club shortly with their former coach. But I was watching the St Kilda game yesterday against Carlton. It was a brave fight back by the Blues, but in the end, St Kilda probably had a little bit too much class on the park. But that's not what everyone was talking about in the rooms post-game, Jay-Z.
Yeah, the captain of Carlton, Mark Murphy, was as agitated as any of the Carlton people have seen him for a long time, because as we understand, he was verbally targeted throughout that match to a point where he got quite worked up. So there was a big melee late in the third quarter, and just before that there was a clash between him and Jake Carlisle, who seemed to be one of the players targeting Mark Murphy. And Mark Murphy went back over to Carlisle as he laid on the ground, gave him a spray, and that's when it was just pretty much well all in, involving three quarters of both teams. And as I say, afterwards Mark Murphy was very agitated. So we've got some information around this, and we don't think either club wants to take it any further. Sort of a personal sledging nature, which is best left out on the field. And to be honest, it's pretty ugly scenes in the end. We all know Mark Murphy is a great fella, so I don't think anyone likes seeing him like this. But when he doesn't shake any of the St Kilda's players' hands, in fact, I think it might have been only two, Joey Montagna was one of them. It was clearly, he was quite clearly distressed. And we stress that, you know, the sledging or trash talking was of a quite a personal nature. And, you know, it looks as if it's gone over a line, an acceptable line. And you three fellas in front of me have played the game. Where is that line? And Roosy, did you even like the look of what you saw yesterday? Because...
I'm probably like the other boys, naked address. I didn't really hear anything. Most of the sledging I got from Duck was, you know, pick up your man, champ, I'm too good for you, or, you know, can you make a move, get Steve-O onto me or something like that, you know, just kick seven on you. I think we all know what the line is, but that really, if it gets too personal, I believe that reflects poorly on the St Kilda Football Club and as an extension, everyone within that football club. And I know Nick Riewoldt and Joey Montagna are outstanding characters, and I would be staggered to think that they wouldn't be relatively upset if some of the things that we're hearing have been said by their teammates. And I would think that Alan Richardson would be very disappointed as well. And
you reckon that address it?
I would think they'd address it, absolutely. It reflects poorly on the football club.
Poor, poor, poor. I think modern football players, I think we said this a few weeks ago, that you need to have a filter. I think that it's okay to get stuck into a player about his form on the day or the fact that, you know, you've beaten him the last couple of times. I think that's perfectly okay. I don't have an issue with sledging, but I think that I do have an issue when you cross the line when it goes to race, racial vilification. It's got family. It's got those personal things need to be left off the field, because I think Mark Murphy's a captain. He's been a wonderful player. He's a great ambassador and custodian of the game. I think as competitors, Duck, and opposition players, we need to show opposition players the level of respect that they deserve.
Yeah, I agree. If it's personal, it's wrong. It's as simple as that. And if Murph has taken it that way, then it's wrong. So it's all about how someone takes something. And if you're attacking someone, especially if it's a family member, then that is really, really wrong.
I mean, Duck, what would you do if someone said something of that nature in a pub, in a bar, in a restaurant, in a cafe?
Well, you'd get rubbed out, Roosie.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
I'd do if I was a player and I heard some of the things that have been...
On the field?
Yeah, on the field. And he was a teammate of mine. I'd totally lose the plot. Mm. I'd go after the perpetrators and deal with them in a way that was probably not productive. But I think that it would infuriate me that someone was making personal attacks on a teammate that I admired and I respected. The game has changed, and changed for the better in so many ways. This is old football verbalising, and I think that it doesn't have any place in our modern game.
We saw a couple of weeks ago with Heath Shaw what he said, and he was caught on the umpire's mics, and we discussed this, and I said to you at the time, Jay-Z, that as a player now, you must realise when you go out on the field, anything you say, rightly or wrongly, could be broadcast to the entire nation. So if the St Kilda boys said something that was unsavoury yesterday, they're that far away from the umpire at any particular time, for whatever reason, a decision's being made, the umpire's mic is moved up, and the entire country hears you saying that against an opposition player. Straight away, whether it's the right motivation or not to be not saying it, to think you might be on the front page of the paper because of what you said, and you go through Heath Shaw probably times five from what you've been telling me what
pretty
you said,
ugly.
Well, you've got to think about that going into a game beforehand.
Roosie, your point is spot on, and that is, would you say that to someone in the street?
Yeah.
Would they say that to Murph if they were walking up the street to him? And if they did, I guarantee it'd be a different reaction.
I don't think some players think about
that. That's
the line.
Yeah, that's the line there. If you wouldn't say it to them in the street, Swatter, you don't say it to them certainly on the front.
No, I agree. To your point, thinking about the potential ramifications, front page story, I don't think some players think about that. It's not in their thinking. They just go out and think that this is fair game. They'll go and say it. I think Richo, if and when he finds out, has a responsibility to address it with the individuals, but then address it with the group and the club.
Yeah,
because
100%.
As you said, that's a terrible reflection. St Kilda have been through their own challenges a few years back with off-field issues. I think a coach has a responsibility to make sure that they use this as an opportunity to remind the players of the responsibility they have, not just their conduct out on the football ground, but their representatives of their football club.
Yeah, I think you both all got that spot on to a completely different topic. Melbourne last night, they get to nearly five goals down, Jay-Z. They go and kick nine straight goals. Roosie, in your time being involved with the Melbourne Football Club, you know their recent history. Where do you rate a win like that last night, taking on a team at home that is almost unbeatable in some people's eyes over there? And Melbourne did a job on them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching on my phone in the airport. I got fascinated by the game, and thankfully I was able to see most of it. So I think there's games along the stages on your progression. This is a big game. Yeah, I still think they're going to be a bit inconsistent because of the youth, and Goody addressed that during the week. You know, I mean, there was a fan that sent his membership back, and we've dealt with that before, and we all understand how emotional fans get.
Did he ask for it back?
But I mean, I used to ring the fans. If someone did, I'd ring them, and most of the time, yeah, absolutely. I would have rung that person and said, look, yeah, we weren't good enough, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time they go, look, I'm sorry, I was emotional after the game, I didn't. I'm saying, that's fine, because
how many of those phone calls would you make?
Anyone that came across my desk that would have written something like that, I rang them.
And how were they receiving it when you said, oh, g'day, it's
it
Paul
went something
Roos
like
here.
This. Yeah, g'day, Jay Clark, it's Paul Roos here.
Oh, bugger off. Who's this clown? Leave me alone.
How would it be received?
They were all the same. I'm sorry. I said, mate, that's fine. I said, because when they write that and they send it off, it's generally within an hour, or half an hour. They're not unlike coaches. If I wrote a letter every time we lost, I'll tell you what. But what I'm saying is, so that's a big moment for that footy club. Just the way they played. And when you looked at their game visually, what I look at when the teams are on the way to playing finals and then they get the finals and they jump up to top four and then et cetera, et cetera. You look at the number of white jumpers around the ball compared to Crows jumpers. And they belted them last night. They bullied them. They just smashed them. And it's still a very, very young group. So what you saw last night was just another little signpost along the way, a significant signpost along the way to say, look, yeah, we're still going to be a bit inconsistent, but we're coming. You know, we're coming. They're well coached. And what stuck out for me was just the level of talent that they have there now. You know, and as that talent gets older, stronger, bigger, they're rolling along. They bullied the Crows last night. I think you said 9-0
on the trot, yep.
In 2 weeks, and I'm still keen on the Crows, so don't get me wrong. But in 2 weeks, they've had 19-0 kicked on them in an hour of footy. First quarter.
Good point.
First quarter.
North.
North and about the halfway through the second quarter to the end of the third quarter. Correct me if I'm wrong. They might have got a goal. 19-0. Zero. And North Melbourne and Melbourne. But they were 89 tackles, just around the footy, hunting them up. Yeah, Christian Salem, who I've loved, and Christian Salem and Hibbert off halfback, 65 disposal, 30. Yeah, so some Clayton Oliver,
Petrarca.
How tough, Petrarca, Nathan Jones, the skipper, Jack Viney, I thought was outstanding. So you're looking through, I thought Dean Kent coming back in, Jeffy Garlett, he's not getting much credit, but I'll tell you what, his forward pressure and hunting. He's running after one bloke, runs across, gets another bloke. So what you're starting to see now, and it'll become more consistent, but I don't want to build up Melbourne support. There'll be some disappointments in the next, you know, however many weeks. So don't to send your membership tickets back just quite yet. You know, but I don't want to be facetious, but what I'm saying, I understand it, but there's going to be some inconsistencies. But what you're starting to see is a collective from Jason Taylor and Todd Viney, you know, Peter Jackson, Josh Marnie, all the Georgie Stone going back 3 years ago, all that, it's starting to start to roll along. And that was a really impressive performance.
We'll be speaking to Nathan Jones from the Melbourne Football Club at 2:30. Bernie Vince in a milestone game yesterday, Jay-Z, in a role that our man Roosie put him into in the shutdown role on Rory Sloane yesterday was extraordinary.
Well, going back a couple of weeks, Rory Sloane was the Brownlow favourite, but he's been shut down twice in a row. And it was a great disciplined role from Bernie Vince, and just shows that there is still clearly a role for the tagger in the modern game. But just one piece of great coaching from Simon Goodman, because in addition to everything you guys have said, remember there's no Gawn,
yep,
no Hogan. And interestingly, from a ruck perspective, I think they lost the hitouts 20-70,
yep,
or something up against Sammy Jacobs. So great effort at ground level from those other midfielders. But certainly after accusations of being, you know, accused of being mentally soft this week, Melbourne, it was a huge response, Duck.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the inconsistencies that you're going to get from them. But that was absolutely brilliant. And I tell you what, Rory Sloane now better make sure he prepares every week for a tagger, because that's going to happen. Because 2 weeks in a row now, and the Crows have lost both games. Yeah. So
it's a blueprint for everyone.
He's an integral part of that midfield.
Oh, the Pies so close yesterday. The Giants 15-12, 102. The Magpies 15-9, 99. Collingwood led in the closing stages, and still Stevie J got the ball.
50 seconds on the clock. High ball to full forward. No,
oh, Stevie J!
Stevie J!
Stevie J!
Stevie J!
Oh. We haven't seen him all night. He boots his second inside the final minutes, and the Giants hit the front.
Stevie J with the match winner, and who better to get on the show on Mother's Day than the big mummy who has recently become a daddy, if you can follow that. Shane Mumford joins us on the line now. G'day, mummy.
How are we, guys?
Yeah, great to speak to you. Before the boys get into Stevie J and a nice win for your footy club, your first Mother's Day as a father, have you been doing the right thing?
Yeah, I have so far, but the weather's not that great here at the moment, so we're sort of housebound until we go back out again for dinner later on.
Yeah, Mummy, Roosie, well done. It was a terrific win, two down. It was one, I think, was in the first 10 seconds of the game sort of thing. So it was a really, really gutsy performance. First quarter, Grundy was really good, mate. I mean, you've obviously...
yeah, he was all over
me. I apologise for bringing that up. You know.
Roosie,
I've got to get the hard one out of the way first. But what I was going to say as a follow-up, Mummy, that it ended up being a really good battle. I think it was good. Lob went in the middle of stages and you went forward and played some significant minutes forward, which probably is unusual for me. So maybe just talk us through that matchup and how that played out throughout the day.
Yeah, that was obviously because Grundy had given me a bit of a bath early on. Lobby come in and gave me a bit of a chop out and spent a bit more time forward than I normally would have, but actually probably went better down there for a bit of the game than what I was in the ruck. So it was a nice little change-up.
Yeah, I think you probably haven't kicked too many goals before, Mummy, with all due respect, but you're mainly playing the ruck. But he actually did. It looked really good. I mean, Jeremy Cameron's year too has been just outstanding. Yeah, we've talked about it a fair bit. He just looks more well-rounded as a footballer. How do you see his form? And obviously, five or six goals yesterday were really critical in the outcome of the game.
Well, he just seems to be able to pop up in all the right spots. The way he works up and back down the ground, and he seems to be able to turn defenders inside out. So he's obviously having a great year, and hopefully it's something he can continue on with his good form.
Yeah, now, just how did you address the two down? Just for listeners, as I said, I think it was a really gutsy performance because you one down with basically 15 seconds into the game, and then you lost the other one, I think, late in the first, early in the second. So how do you guys address that as a team in the game? But also, the rotations are obviously limited. How does that manifest itself over the course of the game in terms of you going forward? Obviously, the mids probably resting more forward than on the bench. Just maybe talk us through a little bit of that and how that worked throughout the game.
I guess you just know that your minutes that they had planned. Obviously, we go into the games with set rotations throughout each quarter and. When Corey went down straight away, I think instead of coming off at the 16-minute mark, I was went to the 20, and then just like I think the guys on the bench had their hands full. That was for sure, trying to work out who was going to come off when. And then when we lost the second, I know it was a bit of a nightmare for the guys there. But you just know that you're going to have to play extra minutes. I think it was a fair few of us that didn't come off in that second half, just so obviously our midfielders could rotate that little bit more. It's just a real gutsy win in the end.
I think the other thing, just finish up before I give it to the boys, you do have an elite running midfield, don't you? I mean, that's a massive advantage, when you can. Like, Scully's a fantastic runner from what I can gather. Whitfield coming back in, played his first game, but he's an elite runner. You've got Josh Kelly, who's an elite runner. So that probably gives you a bit more confidence in those situations, I suspect.
Yeah, definitely. I think Scully's... just he seems to be able to have three or four different guys playing him week in, week out. And he always pops up in that last quarter, running around everywhere when blokes just can't go with him. So to have guys like that obviously makes it a lot easier, and I don't think he comes off the ground too often at all.
Mummy, we're talking about sledging just earlier, an incident that happened with Mark Murphy. Now, there was an incident you were involved with Lance Franklin last year, and something you guys have said, and since then you've been sort of very apologetic. Can you just sort of explain possibly what it's like, that the spur of the moment comment and how regretful you were at the time and possibly what you learnt out of that incident?
Heat of the moment, you sort of get a bit worked up and you say things that you'd like to take back, which was obviously the case with me last year. And in the moment, you say it and then you think back at yourself and you're like, probably shouldn't have done it. But then I spoke with Buddy early in the next couple of days and apologised, and he accepted the apology and we moved on pretty quickly.
So was it, and you learnt something out of that, Mummy? You've sort of you've changed your view a little bit on that.
You just got to hold back, try and keep your cool in the moment as much as possible.
And it must be hard, I guess, when the competitive juices are flowing at times. And one just on Stevie J. I mean, he has been under the pressure largely from the media talking about his performance. What was he like after the game? He must have been a pumped up man. He's a very popular teammate.
I don't think we could shut him up. He was full of chat after this week. But obviously, it's from the outside looking in, you might not see all the work he is doing, but even when he might not be getting the possessions or kicking the goals like we all, like I guess he's expected of him because he's done it for so long during his career, his work with setting up our structures and all these sort of things and getting these young guys in the right positions is second to none.
Mummy, just before we let you go, I love a good football story. And back in the day in Bunyip, I know we're going to the past, there was stories about how many sausages you could power through. And I don't know if this has become exaggerated, etc. I just want you to tell me your personal best post-training at Bunyip Way, how many sausages in one hit, because I love a good story like this.
It was actually at a mate's birthday party. And it was every time I went to grab another drink, I grabbed a couple of sausages to go with it. So I think it was mid-20s.
Mid-20s? With bread or just sausage?
With bread, but it was over probably 4 or 5 hours. So it's, the story has been blown up a lot. I'm not sure it can be blown up.
When you're telling me... You had
a couple of sausages.
Five sausages an hour for 5 hours. 25 sausages with bread and sauce?
Yeah, that's not so bad.
Oh, that is extraordinary. I congratulate you.
I was going to invite you to barbecue when you come down here, Mummy. I'm not now.
Hey, mate, congratulations on the win, but more importantly, congratulations on that. That's one of the best efforts on the Fang I've ever heard of. We appreciate your time. Best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys.
Howie, that's not a bad revelation because I think in the initial Herald Sun Scotty Gunn article, it was only like 16 or 18, but mid-20s.
With bread.
It's new.
And with sauce. Bread. Yeah, that's a very, very impressive effort. Now, the flip side of the whole story about the Giants getting the win is the Magpies having a loss. They're now in the bottom four, Jay-Z.
Yeah, 2-6 they are. We all know the conversation about Nathan Buckley and the pressure he's under. I guess if there is some encouragement in that performance, Roosley, I mean, that first quarter, they played quite well. And we're talking about taking on the premiership favourite. Or premiership heavyweights on their own paddock. So while there was some real positivity in that, you just look at the last 5 minutes. You know, Jared Blair misses a shot, I think, from 20 metres out. He then gives away a sliding tackle, which the Giants used to go forward. And then the Stevie J goal. I mean, with Bucks as a coach, would he just be so frustrated with just a couple of those late little lapses in that second quarter where they let GWS back into the contest?
Yeah, look, I mean, they're really, really frustrating losses, particularly when you lose with 42 seconds to go on the game. But overall, I thought Collingwood were really good yesterday. I mean, I thought some of the coaching moves were good. Their ball movement again. I thought Reed going forward was really important. Duck, you and I have spoken about it a bit here, how much pressure Darcy Moore's been under. Yep. I mean, whilst Darcy Moore didn't dominate, he looked a completely different player. You know, there wasn't the pressure of him leading out from forward. Reed didn't play super as well, but just having him there straightened them up. I thought their tactic, they hit up a leading target a lot. They made Heath Shaw accountable when they did. He really struggled, Shaw. When they didn't, you know, he played on his own terms. So overall, I thought it was a massive step forward for the Pies. Yesterday.
Yeah, I like the move with Reed forward as well because, like you said, it takes the pressure off Darcy Moore. And what that shows you, though, and this is what I guess we all get frustrated with Collingwood about, it shows you that their best is pretty damn good.
Yep.
And they've been pretty good in you know a few games this year, but the week before so poor and then so good. So what are we going to get next week? That's the question. They have to find that consistency.
A level, yeah.
They take on Hawthorn. Let's listen to Nathan Buckley and his comments after the game.
Second quarter, we had a really poor second quarter that gave the ascendancy back and kept them interested and paid the price ultimately. You know, we still needed to win the game and we did a lot of hard work across the four quarters and in particular in that last quarter to be able to put ourselves in that position, but we had chances that we should have iced it in the last 5 minutes and we weren't able to. You know, it's not lucky. You know, they forced it inside 50 four or five times in the last 3 minutes and eventually they scored.
Nathan Buckley post-game after his Pies went down by a three-point swatter. I've got tremendous respect for the work you are doing and now doing full-time in the world of mental health. Mm. The coaches themselves, and I'm not talking about Nathan Buckley here, I'm talking about coaches in general. When you are under that type of pressure, do you have concerns for these leaders of our game when they are continually discussed in the media, their positions are thrown around in the media, their life is pulled apart so intently in the media?
Oh, look, I've never done it. Roosie has, but I would imagine that being a senior coach is a very lonely job at times, Roosie. And it, look, I think coaches are mature enough to manage the criticism that comes from media, because that's external. What would be the great challenge, I'd imagine, Roosie, is when you start to sense, feel, see some instability with regards to the support that you need, and deservedly so, from a board and a club level. When that would start to happen, I worry about the intense pressure of football that it places on senior coaches, because it's an incredibly demanding job. Yep. And we spend so much time, I still don't think it's enough time, worrying about programs and support and assistance for the players.
That's my point.
But this is coaches. It's almost to another level sometimes without the physical challenge of being on a footy ground.
Yeah, look, Mark Brayshaw is head of the Coach Association. I met with him for 2 hours during the week, and I know he's really concerned about this area. Mm. He's met with Mick Malthouse. He's met with some captains of industry, and he's putting the paper together at the moment around that sort of stuff, Swatter. So there is concerns, clearly. They do a great job. They do a wellness survey with the senior coaches and assistant coaches as well. So there's certainly an awareness from Mark and the Coach Association. So watch this space. I think he's really proactive in this area, and I think you're going to see some more support put around the coaches, which I agree with you, Swatter. There's a lot of support for players, but there needs to be more support for the coaching. More, also more of an understanding what makes a good coach. I think, you know, when we're pointing coaches and whoever many we know, there's going to be someone that gets a flick at the end of the year. I still don't think boards understand how to appoint a coach. So there's a massive gap between being an assistant coach and how you progress to be a senior coach. So there needs to be a lot of work done in that space.
And I think only one Collingwood assistant coach is contracted beyond this season. So it's not only Nathan Buckley, it's all their coaches are under the pump. Now, they're 2-6, as I said, Roosie. They're facing a crucial month. They play Hawthorn next week. What if in the next month it's clear that they can't make finals? What does this footy club do? Does it stick with Bucks? Does it get someone else in? Does it play the kids? You know, if it goes south over this next little bit, then what happens?
I'm going to follow up from what Duck said, because I think it's up to the media, which I'm part of now, to get on this weekly cycle. I mean, we've got our rundown here and we'll talk about X amount of games. But that shouldn't be the role of a senior coach. The role of a senior coach is to put a brand out in the field every single week. And that's the main concern. That's what Collingwood needs to do. I don't care whether it's an 18-year-old playing, whether it's a 31-year-old playing. They need to find a consistent brand of football. And if they're 4-8, they're 4-8. Mm. But if you're a Collingwood supporter and go to the game, and I think this is what you're seeing with St Kilda now, this is what you're seeing with Melbourne now, they're still going to be inconsistent. You're starting to see with Carlton. You know, why have Sydney dropped off a bit? Because their brand's not as consistent. Why have Hawthorn dropped off? Because their brand's not as consistent. Richmond, who we're watching at the moment, sneaky screen here, 14 to 13 up, Freo. Their brand is more consistent this year. You know, I don't think a coach, and as silly as it sounds, at the end of the day, you're going to get hired or fired on your win-loss. But if you focus on the win-loss, you lose sight of what Duck's talking about. What is my brand? What do we need to put in the field week in, week out? If you stick to that, everything else will take care of itself.
But to answer your question, I think Nathan Buckley will coach the whole year, irrespective. Yeah.
And that's certainly Eddie's strong view.
Yeah. And that's why, and you know what? And that's why the Collingwood Footy Club is such a great club, because they have a leader like Eddie, and I think that's exactly what they'll do. And I think that's the right thing to do.
What we tend to do pretty quickly in this industry, and boards are guilty of this more so than anybody else, they immediately start to focus on the coach. When Geelong went through a six-month review of Mark Thompson and the football program, they got to the end of that review, which was quite challenging for Bomber and Brian Cook and Frank Costa. They recognised that Bomber was the right man. Mm. Nathan Buckley may be the right man, but you only know that once you go through a full review of the entire football department. My understanding is the Pies haven't done it in Nathan's time. So before they start to line him up and put him in the barrel and pull the trigger, do your review, get an understanding. Is it Nathan, or is it a combination of other things that we aren't doing enough as a club to support him to be the best coach?
Gee, it's interesting.
It is that time of the Sunday Rub with Mark Howard, Wayne Schwash, Paul Roos, Wayne Carey and Jay-Z, where we go and relax. Perfect day, Mother's Day. You're on the nice couch at home. You've got the crocheted rug over your knees. You've got the hot chocolate. The crocheted rug, just to keep your
crocheted
knees a little bit warm.
Crocheted?
Crocheted or crocheted?
Crocheted.
Yeah, crocheted, actually.
What's
you're
crocheted?
Right. Well, that's the one you keep down right between your legs, I think.
I reckon we keep moving on.
All right. It is time for...
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
This is where Roosie takes us back into the history of his life, which is weird and wonderful. And today we go back to 1985. Roosie has just played his first state game for Victoria versus South Australia. And unfortunately, Roosie, the Big V's got done.
Yeah, look, as a kid growing up, we all watched the Big V and very, very exciting seeing all the great players play. And I was lucky enough to get my first game. I think it was in 85. Gary Pert, I think Gary Wilson was on the trip and myself. So the three Fitzroy boys. I remember coming on the wing and, yeah, I had an okay game, but not a great game, and jumped in the bus afterwards and got back to the hotel and you know, late at night, obviously 10:30, and someone said, look, we meet downstairs. So Purdy and I roomed together, and I thought, oh, well, they must do a debrief. It must be.
How old were you?
I would have been about 22, you know, 21, 22, yeah.
Debrief.
Green behind the
I just thought, well, this is obviously state of origin football. Debrief. There's probably a team meeting. The coach, you know, goes through some positives and negatives, and then we head off to bed. So Purdy and I, you know, got changed and looking pretty good, as we normally do. Gone downstairs, and I've looked up, and I won't say the player, but all of a sudden I looked at the bar. There was about 20 drinks on the bar. And I thought, how long has this been going on? So short circuit the night. I think we got in about 3:30. But that was one of the great things about State of Origin. Yeah, it wouldn't happen now in terms of, you know, drinking during the week. But the great thing, going down, socialising with the cream of the AFL footy. Yeah, it's just, I played two games that year. My second game was in Perth. We stayed at it was called the Merlin Hotel in those days. It was the best. It was a 8-7 star. I don't know whether you guys remember. It's now the Hyatt over there. It was an unbelievable hotel. And I remember actually Leon Wiegard, I think, was rooming, and he said, "Boys, I'm leaving tonight. You can have my room." He had one of the penthouse suites, and you can have my bar. Put everything on the. But those were the days. So the ability to be able to have a good time. Teddy Whitten was unbelievable. The coaches were unbelievable. But the players, to be able to do that. The other story I vividly remember, and I can't remember what year this was, and it probably summed up EJ for me. And then anyone that played State of Origin and was involved with Teddy Whitten, I mean, he is just, it was one of
bigger
the
than life.
Oh, great football people of all time. So we're going down, you know, that big road that goes into Football Park. Mm. And there's sort of one road that goes in.
Yep.
So we must have got on the bus a little bit late. So we got to this road, and it's basically gridlock. Mm. So Teddy's spot was up the front of the bus next to the bus driver. He's like the bus conductor, you know, he's like the man. Yeah, so he was, you could tell he was fuming because we're going to be late. And he spots a policeman sort of half directing traffic with a motorbike next to him. So he jumps out, says to the bus driver, open the door. So he jumps out, screams at the policeman. He says, "Hey, we're the Victorians. We need to get to the footy." Bloke looked over his shoulder. He's gone, "What do you want me to do? Get on your bike and take us there." So Blake's jumped on his bike. He's put the siren on. And then, of course, it was like parting of the
Cleared the road.
Cleared the road. Everyone's jumped out of the way. But that wasn't enough for Teddy. He was screaming at all these out, "Get out of the," and every second word was, "Get out, yeah, that's it. You get out of the way. You get out of the way. You get out of the way." And we're going to this game, and every player on the team is roaring laughing because Teddy wouldn't shut up the whole way down the road, and he was just giving a gobful to every person, the policeman. And as the policeman pulled away, he's gone, "Now you've done your job now." And I didn't even know that it existed. So then once we arrived at the venue, he sung the Victorian theme song at the top of his voice at the front of the bus. Mm. And I just remember, you talk about, we've seen Lou Richards passing this week, and we all had a lot to do with him through World of Sport and all that sort of stuff. But those memories with those great players and great icons of the game, and just the memory of Teddy just standing up at the front of the bus, just singing at the top of his lungs, and there wasn't a player in the bus that just wasn't ready to play, and we had about 2 hours to get ready for the game sort of thing. But just fantastic. And Swatty, you can jump in here too. When I was playing at Fitzroy, we were good up until probably mid-80s where we played finals, but late 80s, it was such a pleasure to go and train with Victoria. There was the ball did not hit the ground.
Wow. As opposed to what?
As opposed to the ball didn't get off the ground at Fitzroy. We had Lynchy kicking mongrel punts down. It was cold down the lakeside over. We had the three jumpers on. Finger breaker kicks everywhere. But you used to go down, didn't you, Swat? You used to go down and
amazing.
Unbelievable. Yep. For an hour and a half, the ball did not touch the ground. And then you'd look over and you'd see, there's Tim Watson and Simon Madden. And
Ablett. Lockett.
The iconic players of the era. Mm. It was just amazing.
Did they hand cash out back in 85?
Well, you've just reminded me of that. But, I mean, they...
Well, not 89 was my first. Yeah. No, this is your story, but 89 was my first. I was rooming with Matty Larkin, who was the North Melbourne captain at the time.
Do we need to tell the tax department to tune out at this point?
No, too late. Oh, okay. Right, too late. And I was 19 years of age. I'd only played 14 games, and at the end of the game, we beat WA, which was fairly straightforward, and they give out $1,500 cash. I'm thinking, how good's this? I signed for $4,000. My match payments are $400. Mate, I've hit the jackpot. It's a triple payment here. I woke up the next day, I had $200 on the payment. Yeah. How the bloody hell did that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember being a 10-year-old and they was excited. When State of Origin was right at Zenith and Ablett and Lockett and all that were playing in the same forward line, you were the Allies, I think, at the time, Duck. But I would just wet my pants. I was that excited. The State of Origin game, when that was at its peak, the big V jumper, you felt... Yeah,
never played for the Allies, never quite got there. It was always something little went wrong right before the game. But the biggest game that I played in other than grand finals was one State of Origin game. I played for New South Wales. Our forward line for New South Wales was Mark Roberts, Brett Allison and myself.
Yep.
So it was the same as North Melbourne.
North Melbourne, yeah. That was the one Horse played in as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, our Horse played in one in 1990. Kicked eight goals in the wet. Actually beat the Vicks.
At the SCG.
Although I think if you travelled through New South Wales, you could play for New South Wales that year. But the biggest game that I played for was against Victoria for South Australia. So they changed the rules, which allowed me to play a game for SA. And Roosie was playing
I played
that
on
game.
You.
Yeah, you played a
first
little bit.
First half, and then I went, I think,
for
a little bit. Forward. Yep.
So,
who won that?
Look at Duck. You played on for a little
it's
bit.
Coming.
Here we go.
It's coming.
No. So that was, for me, that was 92. But that game, now I'd not big noting, but that game, so I'd come runner-up in the best and fairest in 1990 behind Horse. So, and I did my shoulder in 91. And I was playing some good footy up, halfway through 92. But when I played in that State of Origin game, came away having got a couple of kicks, and I thought, if you can get a couple of kicks at that level, Roosie, that was the catalyst for me thinking I belonged at the level. So then when you went back to North, you felt like you could certainly play a lot better footy.
Well, 95, did you play 95 when EJ did the lap of honour?
That was probably my most disappointing. And I know Gerard Teal and I have spoken about this. I actually didn't get a game that day, and I was really, really disappointed. Because I wanted to play and I actually didn't get picked. And I think Gerard, I might have read somewhere he was one of the selectors. And given, I'd played a lot of footy for Victoria and that he regretted not picking me for that game. I mean, I didn't get played. So the only disappointment I have is that game, because I would have loved to have played in that game alongside those great players. Well, but also that was EJ doing the lap.
I was lucky enough. I played that day and I still vividly remember Spud almost just moving EJ around each person sitting in front of their locker. Spud was in tears because he just loved EJ. I mean, EJ was bigger than life, as we said. And EJ couldn't see at this stage, but Spud would go, well, here's Roosie. How are you, Roosie? And EJ would just break out into the great EJ sort of motivational leader. And then we get into the game. That was a really, really somber day. But then we get into the game, and the three forwards that we had to kick the ball to, Lockett, Dunstall and Ablett.
Wow.
That was your forward line inside 450.
You were pretty spoiled at North as well.
What? Fridge Roberts, Prudy Ellison.
And Sholey.
Yeah. And Croc every now and again.
Who demanded the ball? Who are you?
No, I went to Plugger. Right. Because he's the only bloke that scared me.
Right. Who got full forward in that team? Because
now, Plugger and Lockett were out of the goal square.
Yeah, Plugger and
Ablett
Dunstall
would play 30 or 40 metres.
Was Dunstall forward pocket or was who got...
Depends who you ask. Well, Plugger kicked more goals.
I'll tell you the quick story about EJ. When I left Fitzroy, which was one of the most difficult periods of my life, losing. I got a letter from EJ saying, and it was fantastic. He said, "Roosie, I can't remember word for it, but along the lines of you've given great service. Don't feel guilty. You got to do the right thing by you. Blah blah blah." And just it was amazing.
You still got that letter?
No, I wish I had that letter. Yeah, but those times, you sort of put them somewhere, and then I've moved about 100 times since then. But something you never Never forget a letter from EJ in a difficult time where you feel like you've let the club down. Should I leave Fitzroy? And to come from him was amazing.
I love that segment. I love you talking about playing for Victoria, Duck playing for South Australia, you hitting up a Lockett, Ablett and Dunstall, and then Jay-Z sort of chiming
wet
in the fact
pants.
He went as a 10-year-old wet his pants.
Oh, it was so exciting. And the regard I held the big V jumper, whenever I saw, I just wanted the big V jumper because you saw these legends. It's just, for me, it's sad that it's sort of declined and we don't do it anymore because that was, other than grand finals,
I reckon it's the
highlight.
Only thing the NRL has over the game the state of origin.
Historic day for the AFL today. Gold Coast taking on Port Adelaide. It's a Gold Coast home game in China, of all places. Our man over there, our international correspondent, Warren Treadray, on the ground in Shanghai. Tread, it's great to speak to you. We've heard Mark Stevens this week saying there was going to be typhoons, sandstorms, 40 degrees. It was going to be a disaster. Great to speak to you, great man. How are things in China?
Good morning, Shanghai time. I don't know what Steve-O's been on over here, but there is nothing like that. We've got clear skies and beautiful conditions for footy, so can't wait for this one to get on. But I'll tell you what, there's some cops. There are police everywhere. There's 1,500 police for this game, and there's 1,000 on call because apparently they're having a game of football here, and they don't like big crowds. Well, and the one thing is they've banned everyone from drinking the booze unless you're in a big marquee. So it should be an absolute belter, and I don't know what to expect from this one.
Hey, Treaders, what sort of crowd do they expect they'll get?
Well, it's sold out. They're saying it's 10,000 tickets, and then if they've got a bit of standing, they're saying 11,000 people will get into this ground. It's been sold out for a few weeks now, and even up until yesterday, the final touches were getting put on Jiwang Stadium here in Shanghai, where they've actually fixed up all the terraces. So it's the old concrete terraces with sort of you sit on the concrete ledge. But what Port's done is they've put 4,500 cushions, so you get a back support and a bum support, and you get to take it away afterwards. So they've thought of absolutely everything.
It's Redis, what was there before? Did I read somewhere it was a showground or something? What? But explain the piece of real estate they're actually playing on over there.
Well, it's an old footy oval, not Aussie footy oval, an old oval. Up until 12 months ago, it was actually a driving range. So for the past 12 months, and in particular the last 6 months, they've had two groundskeepers here work full-time with a bunch of local groundskeepers, and it's absolutely in pristine condition. I think it was, an old military zone, which the military and the government used to own a lot of different areas where they do a lot of their testing and protocols and obviously those sorts of things. So it was that, but it's like built back in like the 1920s, 1930s. So it's, what they've turned it into is quite unbelievable. If you're, I can send through a couple of the photos for the website, and you just see where there's some of the old terrace, and then there's some of the new part terraces, and temporary seating and corporate marquees, and it's almost like a pop-up stadium using an old shell. It's been simply brilliant.
Treaders, take a big deep breath for us, mate.
Yes.
Any drought? No coughs? No spluttering? You're all cool?
No.
You're still alive?
It's a bit hazy. Like you can. In the distance, a little bit hazy, but we're talking 2 km away looking at big skyscrapers. So it's not as big an issue as what people are making out to be. And the big thing here is, some people have come out and been negative and you work through those things. But I'd like to playing a game in the top end. The conditions are similar. It's a little bit hot and sticky. And as I walk past, there's 20 coppers. With sniffer dogs.
Now, did you sit up the front of the plane, Treaders, or were you in cattle class?
And I was back with the mules, don't worry about that. I scanned an exit row. All the Port Adelaide players were in premium economy, and I think the Gold Coast boys got caught on the tarmac for 2 hours. So, but as was discussed, especially out of Adelaide, Adelaide United, being in the Champions League, have done this flight 10 times in the last 12 months, so... even speaking to Gold Coast guys, it still wasn't ideal to sit there for 2 hours. They said that the flight was fine, they were comfortable, and the preparations here have been pretty good. Gold Coast trained yesterday, so did too with Port Adelaide, and I just think they've probably been sitting in their hotel rooms for so long that they just can't wait to get out there and play.
Treaders, I enjoyed it when you joined us on the Friday huddle and said, gee, there's a lot of people here. I like that summation of China, and obviously that's spot on. But of all those people there, what's the interest levels with your average Shanghaian on the street for the big Gold Coast Port Adelaide clash?
Howie, they wouldn't even know it's on.
Right.
As Koshy says, the Chinese people don't give a stuff about Aussie rules footy. But, obviously it's a business relationship thing Port Adelaide's done. They've announced a sponsorship just for the collar sponsor. for $1 million a year for the next 3 years. So it's well and truly paid for itself. And I think the people, a lot of people are missing the point here. Richmond copped it a few years ago when they played in Cairns and lost. Port Adelaide's actually bought this game, so they've still got their home ground advantage when they play at Adelaide Oval. But yeah, to experience it, it's actually quite unbelievable how you sort of sit back and pinch yourself and go, well, we're playing a game of Aussie rules in China, and it's sold out. And I've just come from the Camel Bar where Port Adelaide's got their pre-game. They're already sinking the Carlton United, so they realise that they're not going to get any booze in the ground, so I think they're getting in early.
We're speaking to our international correspondent, Warren Treadrate, in China.
Hey, Treaders, we did the inaugural New Zealand game a few years ago, and they were handing out brochures in the lead-up to the game inside the ground to explain the rules. Are they doing something similar with today's game, or are they expecting mostly expats will fill the stadium?
Well, I think, but when you look at 4,500 people have come from Adelaide, and then you look at all the expats, I think the tickets went that quick that not too many locals got an opportunity. I think there is some stuff that they're doing through AFL, the Shanghai Cup and the Asian setup, where there will be a lot of locals who actually play the game, come to the game. But yeah, I think it's more a function room with Gina Reinhardt and the guy that owns Shanghai Cred, which is a real estate company who is the big backer at the start of all this. So it's very much big hitters in a room. And they had a function last night that I think I was the poorest pauper there. Don't worry about that. We were put right at the back with Mark Stevens. So the old Triple M boys were shunted the back, but we're lucky we got in the room.
Gary Ablett's birthday today. I think he's got a whole heap of his family, including his brother over there, to do a bit of sightseeing over the next few days as part of his birthday celebrations. What are the poor boys doing, do you know, Treaders? Are they on the first plane back, or are they hanging around China for a few days?
Well, Brad Ebert, who's just had his first son, Leo, in the last 2 weeks, he's going to get on a plane immediately after the match. Speaking of Paddy Ryder, I think he and a couple other, I think he's got his wife and kids here. There's a lot of players have got their wives and partners here from both teams, and they'll head off. I think some are going to Shanghai because they have their split round straight after this match. So what happens is that they're actually getting 4 or 5 days. I know Port Adelaide's getting 5 days to go and do what they want. So I think that the scope of it is it's sort of free time. They can do what they want, and they're in Asia. They may as well experience it and do what they want.
Treaders, you touched on the negativity. I think probably what's been lost a little bit in the last week is, as you mentioned, this is not Port's home game. So this is a really smart move from Port. They're not losing a home game. It's actually the Suns' home game. And a lot of the negativity was based around the Suns' senior coach, Rodney Eade, fairly and squarely putting it on the table. So, yeah, if you're a Port person, Port player, CEO, whoever it is, you're actually selling an away game and you're making... Jay-Z, you're making about $4 million out of it. I guess the surprising thing to most of us is the Suns have actually sold this game, and it's still publicly, I would think, gentlemen, is seen as a Port home game, when it's actually a Suns home game. I mean, what sense do you get from the Suns hierarchy and players, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I can only gather that... Just from talking variously, you know, there's obviously a money component. They're still searching for a major sponsor. The revenues are struggling. We all know that obviously those in the GD are still getting significant contributions in growing both those licences from the AFL. And so I suspect that there was, you know, something to do it because it's a quick 400,000 or half a million bucks that goes into their coffers. So this game will probably pull a 10,000 crowd at Metricon. And Port Adelaide's got a reasonably good record up there. So for them, there's probably scope, like Port, to open themselves to a new market. And for them, it's probably in the short term, you go, well, we'll take the cash and be quite sensible with that. But it was funny, you touched on the Gary Ablett one before. He threw a scare through the ranks here yesterday with the media component because he didn't train. It was like, what's going on? But then we found out later that if he doesn't do day on, day off. And I think he was actually thinking about going to play basketball, his normal pregame, which was quite interesting.
We appreciate your time, Treaders. Good luck over there, comrade.
No worries, boys.
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
Oh, this is the segment there was a lot of doubt about early, but by gee, it's come on strong.
It's because we've bought in.
Yeah, you have. You're bought in. A running total. Swatter, 2.
Swatter, swatter.
Duck, 2.
Duck, duck.
Roosie, 2 wins.
Roos.
Jay-Z, 1 disappointing little win.
JJ.
All right, here we go. We start with the back-to-school quiz with Matt. Look at Swatter. He's trying. You can't copy.
Well, he cheated last week, Jay-Z, bro, writing a name down. Collegiazny, I think it was.
Swatter's trying to copy off Roozy. Talk about one no hope of following another. All right, Matt. How many Jacks are on St Kilda's senior
JJ.
List? Jay Clark.
Time?
Six.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Clarky, good start.
Yeah, good start.
Good effort.
Well,
it was a guess, but good.
Was that a six or seven?
Yeah, good start. Well done. Well done. History. What was the most recent year in which the AFL Grand Final was not played at the MCG?
Ooh. Duck, swatter, swatter.
Duck, duck got him first.
91.
It was the Hawks beating West Coast. Very nice by you, ducky boy.
Waverley?
Yes. It was at Waverley.
Batmobile.
Oh, yes.
Is that? Yeah, the
Angry Anderson.
Angry Anderson.
Yep.
That's
never
right.
Be seen
Bad
again.
Boy for Love. Great song.
Geography. Nine AFL players have statues outside the MCG. Name four of those statues.
JJ.
Clarkey.
Shane Warne. Kevin Bartlett.
Shane Warne.
AFL player.
AFL players. Oh. You're out.
Swatter, swatter.
Real poor start by
That's
you.
That's a second shocking entry.
So deduct his point.
You can't.
Lee Matthews.
Statues.
Lee Matthews. Yes.
Kevin Bartlett.
Yes.
John Coleman.
Yes.
Barassi.
Correct. As well as Norm
Nine
Smith,
statues.
Jim Steins, Hayden Button, Dick Reynolds, Lee Matthews, and Keith Miller, who also played cricket.
How did you come up with Shane Warne?
And Warney. Well, he's got a statue.
Played under 19 St Kilda.
St Kilda with Simon O'Donnell.
Robbo wrote a column about him during the week. It's had something to do with footy.
Shane Warne. Warney will be happy with that. You've thrown him into the mix, though. All right. Guess the player. This is the Gold Coast playing in round 16. 2012.
He's
swatter,
an 11-time State of Origin player. 10-time Australian player.
Go.
It's Carmichael Hunt.
He is an AFL match.
It is Carmichael Hunt.
He's an 11-time State of Origin player.
Against Richmond.
Can I just say something?
Yes. Here we go.
When Swatter says swatter, swatter.
Yes.
And you let the audio continue to play and says he was a State of Origin player and he was this and that.
Yeah, that's cool.
It made it fairly bloody obvious.
Poo-hoo.
What about Ducky just getting this? Actually, just test the buzzer over there. Is it working?
I got a question before.
Okay. Swatter 2, Duck 1, Jay-Z 1. Sorry, it was Roozy's buzzer that's not working today. Okay.
Jeez, let's start throwing stones at each
other. English.
Roozy's watching the footy.
English. How many vowels in Kaczynski?
Duck, duck.
Duck, duck.
Four.
No.
Roos, Roos.
Roozy.
Five.
No.
JJ.
JJ.
Three.
Three it is. Jay-Z 2, Swatter 2. Duck, a disappointing
You should have
one.
Said. Roos, you should have zero. Said it's less than five.
Oh,
and he would have guessed six, NJ.
Okay. This week, who said this?
Someone stole my wife's credit card.
Duck, duck.
Lou Richards.
It was. Now let's play the full quote so you can enjoy it.
Someone stole my wife's credit cards.
You're kidding. Did you report it to the police?
No, I didn't, because the guy that stole was spending less money than she does.
What a wonderful week of celebration it's been. And for anyone that saw the Tony Jones rap on the Channel 9 News that led the news the other night to his great mate Lou Richards, normally a news story runs a minute and a half. I reckon the Queen, if she unfortunately passed away, would have got 3 minutes. I reckon he got about 8 minutes, which was absolutely fantastic. Quickly round the grounds in the middle of the quiz, near map aerial imagery.
It's Frio by 11 points over Richmond at halftime, with 30 seconds left in the second quarter.
Dusty Frio, Martin, about to kick a goal. Has
and put it through.
Gold.
Okay, so now Richmond 31, Fremantle 36. Swatter 2, Duck 2, Jay-Z 2, Roozy hit the score. Who am I? So it is between Duck, Swatter and Jay-Z for the win. Who am I? I was born on the 21st of August 1971. I played 383 games, kicking 215 goals. I made my debut against Footscray at the Western Oval in round 19 of 1988. I am an 8-time...
Duck, duck.
Duck.
Robert Harvey.
Duck wins and wins the quiz. Well done. And look at the smile on Captain Complaint over there. He's got the double fist pump.
Did you guys have any idea? Not really.
I did, but I wasn't allowed to answer. Was I allowed to answer?
Yes, you're allowed to answer.
Oh, you said that. You said I was out of it. Out of these three.
I said you couldn't win.
I got to go through the rule book. Who's got the rule book? Who's got a copy of that? I'm taking it home.
You're right out of the Nick Kyrgios style operation you are. So now, Duck, you lead overall 3. You're in front of the back to school quiz. Big story again revolving around the Cats. At one stage, they were 5-0. Now they've lost their last 3, Jay-Z.
Yeah, they have, and it puts them back into the pack, really. And they play a very difficult game against the Western Bulldogs on Friday night, the first down at the Cattery for the first time this season. And really, under the microscope, is that midfield again after a really poor tackling effort last night. I think there was maybe 18 tackles in the first half. And Chris Scott, it must be said, was savage after the game.
For the third week in a row, a really, really poor performance that we've got to stop talking about being uncharacteristic, because it is what we are right at the moment. Our ball handling, our fumbling, inviting the opposition pressure, which helped their tackle count tonight, is a big problem in our game. And then on the other side, which is even more important, the way the opposition is able to use the ball, and that they were cleaner with the ball, which makes it harder to tackle. But 15 tackles in a half is just a disgraceful performance. So there's some really clear things that we need to improve to even be competitive in this game.
Shorto, you called the game last night. How flat were the Cats in that first half? It must be a surprise, because Chris Scott said the same sort of stuff last week. Mm. So it must have been a huge theme for them during the week.
Look, I like what Chris Scott had to say. He didn't sugarcoat it, didn't get away from it. He's put his players on notice. Given the disappointing performance last week against the Gold Coast Suns, I walked into the box last night and I said to Barry Denner, who is an Essendon man, I said, Baz, I just hope they bring a game tonight, the Bombers, because I've got a feeling this one's going to get ugly. Well, no, they didn't turn up. It was 52 tackles to 13 at half time. And these guys have been great players, Selwood and Dangerfield. Not one of them had a tackle. Duncan didn't have a tackle to half time. Ironically and interestingly, when Geelong started to put some physical pressure on the Bombers, they kicked 5 unanswered goals in the fourth quarter, got within 16 points, and you thought they were going to roll over them. What it proves, I think, Roosy, to me, is the competition is even. Make no mistake. Melbourne go and beat Adelaide. The Bombers beat Geelong. Geelong's probably got more talent than the Bombers, but the Bombers' work rate and appetite to put defensive pressure on got them into the game, got them into a winning position. Their willingness to bully the Cats was terrific for the first three quarters. And I think when you control defensive pressure, when you've got the opposition with no space, no time, and the tackling's of a high level, you're controlling the momentum of the game, and that's what the Bombers did.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is embarrassing, and Scotty was really honest, and I think the coaches do a great job after the game, because they really are portraying an honest assessment of how their team's going. I thought that was brutally honest. Let's put this into perspective. I know it's stating the obvious, but you've got 22 players that play for you. They had 14 tackles in the first half. So they couldn't even get one tackle per player.
And Cocker too had the majority of those 14.
Exactly. So that is a horrendous defensive performance. And tackling, to me, is obviously intent, because offensive ball movement, you know, is a skill base. You know, Luke Hodges is a better kick than, you know, Paul Roos or whatever. So that's a skill thing. But tackling is not. Tackling is an intent, is the ability to move from a neutral spot, where generally around a stoppage, and get there quickly. If you can't do that, that's just a lack of intent and your defensive actions.
I'll come at it from this angle. I love the fact that the Bombers, and you touched on it, the guys touched on it, how close this competition is.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, the Cats have got a lot of work to do, and the Bombers not far off it. And, you know, they string enough games. You know, they'd be looking at finishing in the top 8. They string enough games together. I haven't looked at their draw, but that's how close this is. And you know what? It is anyone's premiership. We saw last year a team win it from 7th. A similar thing could happen again this year. And it seriously, I mean, the way the season's going, how many games, and I'm not one that sits down and works this stuff out, but you might get into the 8th, swat it with maybe 11.
11, yep. Good, 11, a
11
good
wins
might get you in.
Might get you in this year because of the closeness of the competition.
Yep. The thing during the call last night, Jay-Z, in the opening half, that I kept thinking about was, this is not finals footy. If you aren't prepared to apply that defensive pressure, if you don't have the appetite to tackle individually and collectively, then Geelong, the 5-0 scoreline perhaps flattered them because they've got some areas of concern, and most notably that is one. The benefit for Geelong right now is it's the end of round 8.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. But if they don't correct it, they may not go too far in September.
So, Roosie, from a coaching perspective, is this a bit old school, or is it one of those weeks where Chris Scott would say to the boys, bring your mouth guards this week? You know, we're going to do some tackling. If you can't do it when I ask you, like, does that stuff still happen?
Yeah, I think you've got to practice it. There's no question. Tackling's like any other skill, even though it's an intent, you still have to practice the technique. There's no doubt. Yeah, they're probably less and less because most weeks, early in the week's recovery, the first training session might be only 15, 20 minutes of touch. But I would be staggered to think in their last session, prior to the Bulldogs game, they wouldn't be doing some tackling.
Did you ever get rugby guys in, Roosie, when you were up in Sydney?
In Sydney, it was a massive advantage. We had Les Kiss was one of the best I've ever worked with. He watched some vision of AFL. He was working with the Waratahs at the time, watched some AFL vision, and he had a great capacity to translate the two tackling techniques and did a fantastic job. So absolutely practice it. Absolutely bring your mouth guard. Absolutely, because I think what Scotty's saying is right. It's 3 weeks now, and Swatty, you touched on it. I thought, we all were relatively positive about the Geelong, but there's still some holes in their game in the first 5 weeks, even when they were 5-0. So Scotty would know what they need to work on, not just the last 3 weeks.
They got out of jail against the Kangaroos.
And they got out of jail against Melbourne.
Yep.
They got out of jail against Melbourne. So they could have easily been 3-2 rather than 5-0.
Boys, pretty much a third already through the home and away season, which has gone extremely quickly. We thought we'd just have a bit of a review session, have a look at our biggest surprises of season 2017 and biggest disappointments. Let's start with a positive, Scott. Let's start with your biggest surprise.
Well, I didn't have this team in my top eight. I thought that if everything went well, they could be anywhere from, say, 7th or 8th down to 12th. But the fact that they're in 5th place at the end of round 8 with 5 wins in the bank, my surprise this year so far is the performance of St Kilda.
Yeah, they have been good, haven't they? They've been very, very good. Are they top four material? Could they snatch it Bulldog style, or they're not that good?
Well, last year I didn't think the Bulldogs could win it from 7, so they might prove me wrong, but I don't think they're a top four team just yet.
Okay, so Swatter's biggest surprise is St Kilda. Roosie?
Oh, look, my biggest surprise is probably the Hawks and the Swans collectively. I think there's reasons behind their demise. But, I had Sydney probably playing off in a grand final. And we don't know. We speculate at the start of the year, and it's all predicated on their best 22 playing. But I certainly didn't envision them starting 0-6. So that's probably the biggest surprise for me.
For me, the closeness of the whole competition. That's the biggest surprise to me. I can't believe how – I thought there was a bit of a gap. I thought the bottom teams, the likes of Carlton and Brisbane had played some really good footy. They're a better team than what I thought they were. And I think the closeness of that whole, of all the teams, is what's,
which is brilliant, Duck.
Which is great.
Again, you turn on the telly last night.
That's what I'm saying.
You're watching Essendon and Geelong, you're watching Melbourne get over the top
AFL
of that.
Would
brilliant.
AFL would be over the moon with what is occurring. Yep. And I think all football fans, because it doesn't matter who you barrack for, you can go to a game and you might get a win. Whereas that has not always been the case in this competition.
For me, it's Richmond, and in particular, Trent Cotchin's leadership. He was probably one of the biggest whipping boys in the AFL. Everyone had a crack at him about his leadership over the past few years. But I think some reassessment, some mentoring has changed his whole approach as a captain. And you see the synergy, and this is credit to Damien Hardwick as well, who's copped a lot of hits around the head. To be honest, a lot of criticism for the way he's coached Richmond. I think Richmond has been one of the great stories of the year so far. Just been really impressed with how they're playing, instinctive, the flair and the tackle pressure inside forward 50. So I think that whole administration needs a pat on the back for the work they've clearly done on the pre-season. But Howie, just quickly, some breaking news. And this is a personal one for you, Roosie, but Angus Brayshaw has just copped another knock to the head in his return game from concussion in the VFL. So I think that's two maybe this year. He had two last year.
He's gone off the ground, has he?
He's gone off the ground. So it's just literally just happened. We understand he was in some sort of marking contest or contest. He's left the ground groggy. He's in the rooms in Melbourne's VFL team in Casey at the moment, and they're trying to help him and and monitor him at the moment. So we'll more on this a little bit later, Howie. But it must be really distressing for all the people around him and his family. We know his concussion history. I think Mark Brayshaw, his dad, said recently his mum just walks laps of the footy when he plays because she's so worried about his health. So look, we'll get more information as that comes to hand. But unfortunately, Angus Brayshaw suffered another head knock.
Yeah, no good. Thanks for that, Jay. Howie, what about you? What's been your surprise this year?
Well, I knew you boys would go down your sort of straight down the path, so I thought I'd just go a little bit more laterally, Roosie. My biggest surprise this year has been Chris Judd. Now, when I used to roam the boundary and you'd interview Juddy, he was the most boring, down the line, structures and processes individual. This year on Triple M Football, has he surprised me? He's got the analysis of a coach. He's like Roosie as a coach. He's got the humour of a bald Jerry Seinfeld. But he's got the real weird, slightly perverted style outlook on life. Like, what was that bloke on the A-team, Duck? Murdoch.
Murdoch.
The crazy Murdoch. Murdoch. He's got a bit of Murdoch. And I went to Juddy's on Friday night for the
smaller
Friday
boat,
huddle. Enormous house. I'm talking $7 plus $8 million into the Judd man cave. He walks out in a eyes wide shut mask with a blue smoking jacket on with the Jets crackers hanging out the bottom of it and no jocks. And I just thought it has surprised me what Chris Judd has become, because Roosie, he put the B in boring, this man. So Juddy is my surprise. All right, let's get on to the disappointment.
Well, I guess, Howie, when you are let into his sort of man cave, his fine establishment, if you are on the invite list, I think you would pump him up after the fact, wouldn't you? It's just the sort of
is that a normal
Juddy
Friday night sort of attire for the Juddy?
I tell you, the wines the man has in the bottom of the temperature-controlled wine cabinet.
How long did you kick on for?
I got to half time and two glasses of wine. For me, extraordinarily good effort. The rest of the boys knocked off about 5 a.m., I think. All right, Jay, we can't all be positive. Sometimes there's disappointments. Who's disappointed you?
Well, mine is not related to players, coaches, clubs. Mine is directed at the Laws of the Game Committee. They have complicated, they have meddled, they have muddled, they have thrown in interpretations that have almost made the game for the men and women that umpire our game almost impossible. Leave the bloody rules alone and let the umpires do their job and make it easier for them.
I think it's a pretty hard one to argue that one, Roosie.
Well, we did this independently,
yes,
and mine's exactly the same.
Oh, sorry, Roosie, I didn't even know you were doing that.
That's fine. I
saw Swaddle.
Right. He's copying the quiz, like the quiz.
It's interesting. There shouldn't be comp. We change these rules. We don't know how they're going to go. We don't test them out. The fans that I go and talk to, and I know what you guys are like, are all saying, why are we changing the rules? Why are we changing the rules? Why are we changing the rules? We shouldn't be talking about, we shouldn't be putting as much pressure on the umpires as we are. And the laws of the game, I don't want to attack the individuals in there. What I'm saying is, let's just give it a rest.
Yep.
And I 100% agree. That's the biggest disappointment for me. We've brought in this new interpretation, and every single week of the first 8 weeks, hopefully this is probably the only week so far, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen every game, we might not be talking about the deliberate out of bounds. But for 7 weeks, we've spoken about it week in, week out, and that's disappointing. Not the umpires. Let's be really clear. I agree with what Damien Hardwick said after the game last week. Not the umpires. The people that are making the rules are making a mozza of it.
That's your man. That's Juddy.
Yeah, well, it's because he's doing it. He's smoking jacket with that funny mask on.
Yeah, mine's off the ground as well. And, you know, you've sort of put me on the spot. I didn't give it much thought until about 10 minutes ago.
But you got the text message on Tuesday, didn't
you? Yeah, well, I didn't look at it.
Duck homework?
I think that the fact that racism reared its ugly head again this year was the biggest disappointment for me. That the fact that can still, you know, be out there in society and those comments can still be made. I still find that really disappointing.
All right, yeah, pretty hard to argue with that
absolutely.
One. Jay-Z?
My worry is for the Hawthorn administration, which now has to try and keep Alistair Clarkson. Now, we know he is committed from a contractual basis until the end of 2019 after signing a 3-year deal. But if you think that any club in the country who has a vacancy at the end of year, say, for example, Collingwood, if you think they're not going to try and make Alistair Clarkson an offer he can't refuse, I will be staggered. Now, there have been a lot of changes at Hawthorn in terms of the football manager, in terms of the CEO, in terms of the playing group. Now,
will they offer someone else an offer they mightn't be able to refuse as well?
Paul Roux sitting pretty quietly at the moment. But the start of any list, there is this man here, clearly, Paul Roux, and Alistair Clarkson as well. Now, if Collingwood do get to a situation where Nathan Buckley moves on, and it's all pretty clear the circumstances there, then there is absolutely no doubt in the world that Eddie McGuire will be starting the top of his list with Bruzy here, with Alistair Clarkson and John Longmire. He will make those calls. And if I'm Hawthorn, with the changed administration, a changed environment around Clarko, I'd be worried that he might be looking for a fresh start. If that is the case, they'll try and test his loyalty.
Oh, very good, Jay. Very good. How many times are you going to ask Roosie if he's going to coach again?
He's allowed three.
Well,
he's
three.
How many has he had?
He's had one.
Just one.
But he's bringing a couple of subtle ones in there.
What about you, Harry?
Like a 20-second timeout in the NBA.
Yeah. What's been your biggest disappointment?
Again, I thought a little bit laterally. A couple of near misses. Sirioli doing his knee is a pretty big disappointment.
Lucky not to be repeated.
The Hawks sitting 0-5 and my five-year-old coming to me and saying, Dad, can I have a second team? That was pretty disappointing, especially when he threw Carlton into the mix, which is his mother's side. But to be honest, my greatest disappointment so far in season 2017 has been Paul Roux.
What?
Well, he came round one, the very special one, and he talked about meditation, and he talked about how he does it at home with Tammy. And I look around this room, and in the ad break, you know, Duck and Jay-Z, they're both on the phone. It'd have to be said for very different reasons, but they're both on the phone. You're always feeding your mouth, trying to fill yourself up. And Roux crosses the legs, and he goes into a transcendental meditation pose. And he comes out, and he's full of life and energy. And he told us round one, I'm going to get you boys together. We're going round to our house. It's going to be me, Tammy, and we're going to do a meditation course, and we've seen nothing of it. Roozy. So you've been my disappointment.
Let me tell you, I'm not going to have a smoking jacket with my onions hanging out.
So Jones on his way in now, 40 metres out, kicks it very high, and it's through. First goal of the night goes to Jones and to Melbourne.
Jones, the skipper, gets on the end of a handball and bangs one back for the Demons.
What a night it was for the Melbourne Football Club, taking on the highly fancied Adelaide Crows at home. They slipped about four goals behind, then they kicked nine in a row. And it was a wonderful win for the Melbourne Football Club, possibly a defining win. And their captain joins us on the line now after his side won by 41 points. The big wave rider himself, Nathan Jones. Hello, Jonesy. Congratulations. Well done. What a great win for your footy club.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, obviously, on a bit of a high, it was pretty impressive performance from the group, and hopefully something we can really build on and set our season up and launch off the back of that performance.
Yeah, Nathan, we talked about it before, mate, and you've probably been to the cafe with Jerry. Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to Jerry.
I'm just on the way home now.
Oh right, I hope you got something special planned.
Oh yeah, just picked up a bunch of flowers on the way.
So oh nice. Now, mate, we talked about it before, just the brand that you guys played last night. When you watched the game, and I was able to watch it sort of on my phone in the airport coming back from Sydney, but just the amount of white jumpers from contest to contest, contest to contest, it was just relentless last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think that's obviously been a focus for us is, building our foundations around how we play around the contest in particular. And we spoke this week, heading over to Adelaide after a disappointing performance last week, of trying to increase the intensity even more so. And we knew Adelaide, a terrifically powerful scoring team, and we had to put a lot of pressure on them. And that was the real gauge for us, was, that outnumbering that you talk of. And probably the tackle stat was the main thing that was quite impressive, which was something we put a bit more of a focus on, or a greater emphasis on this week. And, I think it's sort of set the benchmark for us, and as I said before, hopefully something we can really build on.
Yeah, 89 tackles was fantastic. You just sense that, the hunger was there and the ability to hunt the opposition. I also think your small defenders, and when I call them small defenders, they're so underrated. I mean, I'm a massive Neville Jetta fan, as you know, Jonesy, but Hibbard coming in, Salem, who's been fantastic, Hunt, Jetta, not to take anything away from Oscar and Frost, but they're really aggressive now with their ball use, and that must give you guys a lot of confidence when you start to win the football.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think, obviously, we're trying to win it at the source, but I think, as you said, we've got some pretty diverse players down there that can sort of fly in the air and impact on, you know, intercepting, but also at ground level with their ball use. Like, I think Hibbo has been such an addition for us, just him being able to find the footy and set up with his powerful kick, and obviously the speed of Hunty. And Nev's just, you know, Nev's got better and better. He's obviously a terrific lockdown defender and generally plays on the most dangerous small forward, but his impact offensively, you know, has really added another layer to his game. And, you know, we've worked really hard over the off-season to sort of, you know, develop that offensive side of the game after we sort of have really tried to bolster our defence and our work around the contest and try and capitalise on those contested wins and create uncontested chains and into scores, which last night was pretty evident, and the boys are, you know, really lifted in that department.
I think the other thing too, and Benny Matthews texted me today to mention the centre clearances, so I better do that. So 18 to 6.
He'd be pretty happy at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say 18 to 6 was really, really significant, because it is one of the few times you can get to an even numbered forward line, and you can get deep in your forward line, and you can really create some havoc. So I thought your centre bounces last night too were really significant.
Yeah, well, we've obviously had to put in a bit more work over, you know, the last sort of month. Obviously, with Maxi going down and then Jake going down, we haven't had, you know, a designated ruckman as such. And, you know, the boys that have pinched hit in there, Cam Pedersen's been terrific for us. Watts has been terrific for us. But in reality, you know, we've had to do a bit more research, because the numbers say that we aren't going to win too many hitouts. And I think that's credit to our midfield group being able to adapt. You know, we've put a lot of time into researching the opposition ruck and come up with a really clear plan most weeks. And I think gaining ascendancy in that area is super important, as you say, in terms of, you know, gaining metres and getting the ball into, you know, your forward half and creating opportunities to score. So last night was a terrific effort, and up against Jacobs, who, you know, dominated hitouts, but I think our ground level work and, you know, our one-on-one, you know, craft work was terrific.
Jonesy, congrats on the win. I just want to change tack just slightly for a second. Are you aware Angus Brayshaw has just recently suffered another head knock?
Oh, really?
Yes.
No way. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that. So, yeah, that's not great.
Can you tell us just how sensitive that issue is around at the club at the moment, and just how he's travelling with these series of concussions? I think he is okay. He has got a hot head knock. He's been into the club rooms, and the doctors are obviously looking after him. He's not knocked out or anything, but just how is he going with these series of head knocks?
I think it's just quite frustrating. I think, you know, concussions are obviously a really delicate issue at the moment in particular, but I think also dealing with it as a player, it can be quite frustrating, because generally, you know, after you get over the initial concussion, it's sort of, you do feel quite okay, and I think that's probably the frustrating part for him, that he is feeling really good. He's actually been training really good. He understands, you know, the precautions around it. I think our club does a terrific job in handling it. We had a pretty severe incident last night with Jaden Hunt as well, and I think, you know, Gussie is just going to remain positive, and you know, he's working on a few things that will, you know, I guess, help him in that area. But it is unfortunate, and it's not really something you can predict. And I guess in his case, he does need a little bit of luck to go his way. But you know, I think from our point of view, you know, it's obviously we'll deal with it from a professional medical point of view. But I don't think there's any sort of further dangers or risk for him at this stage.
Jonesy, the footy world is thinking of him just as we let you go after your great win against the Crows last night. Wednesday, 4 foot offshore. You got training or you got the day off?
I do have the day off, so I might try and be down there if I get a chance. Hopefully I get in the good books for Mother's Day. I'm actually dragging my wife and kids to the Sydney North game, so it's not too much of a celebration, but it should be a bit of fun anyway.
One of the great romantics you are, Jonesy. We appreciate your time. Well done on your win last night.
Thanks, guys.
Jay-Z, the big three, what do you got for us?
Well, I think the story that will be on the Herald Sun back page tomorrow will be the situation around Mark Murphy and the sledging. We had very candid response there from Shane Mumford about his issue last year with Lance Franklin and how he regrets that. But don't worry, the Mark Murphy situation will blow up. But I want to just move on now to another situation. It happened over in the West. It's back page news today in Perth. And that is a really weird thing which happened with Harley Bunnell yesterday at a waffle game. So his cousin, Harley Bunnell's cousin, Trey, Ray Bunnell was playing for Peel. And at quarter time and three quarter time, Harley Bunnell sort of went up, interrupted the coach's address to talk to his cousin and sort of take him aside and have a chat to Trey while the coach is talking. And then also he had some interactions with the Channel 7 cameraman and sort of asked him not to film Harley. And then after the game, he sort of was playing with his equipment or picked up a cord sort of related to the cameras and had to basically be ushered out of the club rooms and almost encouraged to leave the ground. So Fremantle have said that they're sort of investigating his behaviour. But for a bloke who's potentially on his last chance at Fremantle, had that situation where he was essentially kicked off a Virgin flight for drinking too much in a previous flight, it is just really bizarre that Harley Bunnell is continuing to skate close to the wind.
Well, let's hope he can sort it out. He's only a young man, and he's obviously got two choices to make here, the right path or the wrong path. Hopefully he ends up with the right path. And I'm sure Fremantle are right, supporting behind him, Jay-Z. And it's easy to say, oh, well, get rid of him, give him the chop, send him out, duck. But he's only a young man. He's made mistakes. We all made mistakes. He might have made more than a few. But, you know, hopefully they can sort him out because he's a wonderful footballer, and obviously going down that path will help his life away from footy as well, if he can get in that structured environment, make a success of it.
Oh, absolutely. And I obviously don't know the circumstances behind what Jay-Z's talking about, so can't really comment on it.
Contracted again for next year, so his future certainly up and down. I just think when a coach is talking to a waffle team, you'd be respectful and let him carry out his address before you talk to his cousin.
Is he a Fremantle employee, the Peel coach, do you know? Or is he I know that's their seconds team. But
he would be, yeah.
Because some are employed directly by the Peel. So I'm wondering whether that's a free man. Not that it excuses it, I'm just saying.
If he's a coach, he would be under the Fremantle banner, wouldn't
he? Yeah, and I think Roger Hayden, a Fremantle assistant coach, was the one who actually had to pull Harley aside and said, mate, what are you doing? Maybe just go back up to the stands. We touched on the deliberate rule earlier, or you did, Roosie, an inconsistency that has been applied this year. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd watched the footy this round...
Yep. It's where it should be.
It's totally changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and this is your frustration, isn't it, Paul, the variation sort of from week to week. On Friday night, you would have seen that it's clearly relaxed. All coaches and players would have seen that and thought, well, it's changed again this week. But are you happy that that's the standard now that should be maintained, the more relaxed sort of approach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that. My problem exists around the lack of consultation, the lack of trying the rule out, and then once we get to a position, we explain that position. I feel sorry for the umpires. On the weekend, you know, what we saw was if there was an obvious situation where a player had another opportunity to bring the ball in the ground and didn't do it, it was a free kick. If he didn't, he was under pressure. He was kicking, sort of trying to kick around the corner. The ball bounced sideways. I don't think any of us have a problem with that. The frustration exists. It's taken us 7 weeks of the season to get it right.
Yeah, they've been consistently good this round.
Yep. Yes.
Whereas I think over the other rounds, Roosie, what happened on Friday night mightn't necessarily happen on the Sunday. And that's what we just want consistency, and they've been very good this weekend.
And I think if it stays at that sort of level, hey, this is going to be one of the most exciting Brownlow races in years. I think
it's open.
Yeah, the past couple of years we've had the Ablets, the Fifes, the Dangerfields, the runaway leaders, the really short price favourites for the whole seasons. Who you got for the Brownlow now? We've had Rory Sloane has had two quite ones.
Oliver's market at the moment.
He's gone in from 500 to 1 at the start of the season, currently to 30 to 1, I believe. So he's certainly come in, had another 30 possessions and 10 tackles, kicked one of the goals of the year last night. Who would you have for the Brownlow, Duck, if you had to call
it? Yeah, it's wide open for me. Wide open. Dusty Martin would have polled early.
Yep.
Dangerfield, clearly. Ablett's another one that's had some really good games.
And just before I leave, Howie, a couple of injury issues for the Hawks. As I said, Sua Rioli may be up to 4 weeks with that knee. Isaac Smith, potentially a striking issue. Grant Birchall already out with a knee. And Stratton likely to miss next week's game against Collingwood.
All right, nicely done, Jay-Z. Cyril, you'll be right.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.